Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Nicole Thomas, and I am Vice President of Information Services here at McKinney Flavelle. Today is December 13th, 2019, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast. We have a special guest on the Hot Commodity Podcast today, Mr. Sean Bingham from ABSR Research. How are you doing today, Sean?
I am great, Nicole. How are you?
Pretty good. I mean, but Sean, we have 12 shopping days left before Christmas, if you count today. And admittedly, this one crept up on me a bit, but I hope you have your shopping done, right?
Well,
all that holiday stuff knocked out.
I do not, and I'm trying to become more of a cyber shopper. And I don't know if you caught this, and this could be part of the problem. So the other day, the Journal had an article, and I guess I didn't realize it because I'm not one of those that has to get out on, you know, the day after Thanksgiving,
right,
or whatever,
right,
they were talking about the fact that because Thanksgiving fell so late this week,
yes,
on November 28th, the time, but there's only 23 days between Thanksgiving and Christmas this year, and all the FedEx and UPS and Amazon, they're all trying to figure out how they're going to ship roughly 2.5 billion packages this year.
Wow.
With 6 fewer days left to go. So,
wow.
So it's,
and plenty of people waiting last minute like you, Sean.
Well, yeah. I mean, I may have to go to the mall, which you just dread. I can't remember the last time I've been in a mall, but I may have to at this point, because what's going to happen is I think there's going to be a big period here where people are not going to get their Christmas presents by Christmas because of this backup in the mail system. Anyway, I thought it was an interesting article, but
I've been worried about that.
So
no, that's true. You know, to that effect, I know I'm a bit, shall we say, mature. I'm not going to say the number, but
no, we don't.
I've been around a little while, but one of my memories related to the holidays was getting those Sears and JCPenney catalogs, which dates me. And circling all the stuff I wanted and probably wasn't getting. But you fast forward to today, I have a child of my own. And in a true sign of the times, we still have a catalog arrive at our door every year. Can you guess where it's from?
I'm going to say Uline.
Because what does a kid want but Post-it notes, Sean?
Exactly.
Post-it notes and swing line staplers. That's as good as it gets for a four-year-old.
Yeah.
Amazon sends out the Christmas catalog.
Amazon has a Christmas catalog.
Amazon has a Christmas catalog. And my son was happy to pick up that crayon and circle a bunch of stuff that he's not going to get.
When I was a kid, we had one. It was, and I don't know if this was national or not, but the big thing when I was a kid was service merchandise. And maybe that was...
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's a memory shot.
Yeah,
I remember, and we're not
talking numbers, but yes, I am mature as well. Yeah, I remember as a kid, everybody got the service merchandise catalog, and you started going through that because they had everything.
Boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they did. They did. I do remember that on a nice little conveyor belt when you were ready to pick it up at the end of the store.
We don't even
remember that. On that note, since we've got two old fogies on here, apparently, let's jump into what we want to talk about today. And I guess earlier this week, we covered the WASDE, which, you know, for most people was a bit of a dud, at least for most commodity markets covered anyway. So I thought today, with much more interesting things occurring in the macro environment and the political arenas, that we focus on some of the newsworthy announcements of the week as it relates to general economy and trade.
Yeah.
Sound good to you, Sean?
Perfect. You know, it was funny. After the WASDE report, I thought, gosh, this is going to be a boring end of the week. But it ended up being anything but, right?
Right. So, exactly. I mean, one of those big things being phase one of the U.S.-China trade deal seems all but written on paper at this point. We just need China to sign off on it. And I guess the most relevant of that news is, you know, obviously no new tariffs, something that was threatened to kick in on Sunday. We'll also see the suspension of existing tariffs, which were applied to, I think it was a total of like $160 billion worth of goods.
Correct.
So good news for a lot of industries, including the agricultural product sector. And speaking of that sector, the speculation is that this will be supportive of corn and soybean and soybean product exports, import demand for meat proteins, potentially even ethanol. So what do you think, Sean? Are we officially good to go?
I think between that, I think there were a couple other things. We've got, looks like USMCA is on track. And I think as soon as, I believe, technically, I think the president has to send whatever revisions he wants back to Congress. But once they approve that, we're 90 days to having USMCA. So that, you know, that's a boost. And then on a lighter note was Boris Johnson's big victory in the British elections last night. And I'm not sure that was a surprise, but I think the size of the victory was big. And I think that
was,
that's certainly pro-growth for Europe. And it clears a more stable path for Brexit.
Yeah, it does sound like Brexit will happen. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the markets are, you're seeing it, you know, you saw it yesterday and we're seeing it again today that overall this is favorable for markets.
Yep, I would agree. We're seeing definitely seeing a little bit of a rally come from all this with very little new fundamental information. But hopefully with some of these announcements very shortly here, we'll see that start to show up on the balance sheet as well. More to come on that in the future. Mm-hmm. But one other thing I wanted to talk about, because I have you who is you're an expert in this arena, and that is the topic of interest rates. Kashan, admittedly, I'm most concerned about interest rates when I'm buying a house or taking out debt, which isn't often for either of those. But we did have a Fed meeting this week. No changes thus far. What do you think we're looking at?
Well, what I thought I'd do is talk. I have been involved in the interest rate markets for a very, very long time, and particularly the short end Fed funds and LIBOR market. And so we had what I thought I'd do is, you know, we can talk a little bit about the FOMC meeting and what the Fed is looking at for the year since we're approaching 2020. And what the market is looking at, and they are not always the same, and in this case, they are divergent. And then maybe what could upset the apple cart, so to speak, in trying to forecasting rates. So
sure,
the meeting on Wednesday was widely expected to be unchanged, and it was. The main statements for the Fed were that economic activity is still rising at a moderate rate, which, you know, gave them pause to leave the funds target between the range of 1.5 and 1.75.
Right.
And they went on to say that, they see inflation low, but likely to gravitate up towards the 2% area. And oddly enough, we were talking about this the other day.
Yeah.
I just happened to pull out an old statement from December of 2014 where the wording is almost identical, where they still see inflation rising to 2%, but it's just not happening. And I think, and it shows up in the Fed's forecast as well down the road. So,
right.
The Fed's favorite inflation gauge is the PCE index. And they look at CPI and they look at PPI, but the personal consumption expenditures index is really their kind of go-to. And that pretty much was running about 1.6% this year. And they have that raised up to 1.9, but that is pretty much in line with this never-ending forecast of 2% inflation.
Right.
The funds rate, however, is going to end the year here at 1.62 for the actual median target, and they don't see, the Fed has no change in that rate for 2020. But what's interesting, to get a little bit in the weeds, is one thing the Fed does is They give us a not just that forecast, but they also give us what each individual member thinks
right.
is the forecast.
When it gets interesting, exactly.
Right. And so even though everyone at this last meeting voted to keep things the same, if you look at the range of expectations for the funds rate next year, you know, I said that they currently see 1.6. The range starts at 1.6 and it goes up to 1.9. So there's a clear bias within the members of the FOMC for the potential for higher rates. And as sure. a matter of fact, there were four members that were looking for rates to be a quarter higher by this time next year, which is not a huge move by any stretch.
Right, right.
And frankly, it would look silly for them to project higher inflation, but no change in rates. So
yeah, very true.
So that's the FOMC's spin on what rates are going to be like next year. If you look at the market, though, the market is saying a little bit different. Actually, I would say considerably different, given the Fed is looking for a small potential for rates a quarter higher. The market's actually looking for the potential for rates to be a quarter lower.
The drop, right, right.
By the end of next year. Now, after yesterday's news and today, we are seeing that come down a little bit. But 2 days ago, they were looking for 25 basis points of cuts. And today that's been cut to 20. But it's, you know, it's noticeable that there is a divergence between those two forecasts, and having traded this stuff for the better part of 20 something years, I'll bet on the markets forecast.
Okay, right. They get it right eventually, feds. Always.
Yeah, I used to work with a guy who said, you know, sometimes when you're trying to figure out what the market's going to do, the best thing to do is find out what you know the market's not going to do and just cancel right. that out. And the way I look at it, you know, there is just no inflation in the market right now. It's hard to find outside of healthcare and education.
Yeah.
You know, it's just non-existent. And technology, I guess, is dry. You know, we could all talk about what may be the cases. Certainly technology is one of the drivers. And I just don't see that changing next year. So, you know, the probability that the Fed is going to really raise rates next year, I think is much smaller than their forecast. I think the market's got it about right. That if anything, we might come down a little bit more. And you know, with the trade deal, at least phase one deal.
Yeah. Yeah. You beat me to what was going to be my question, Sean, there with now, you know, some of these trade deals looking pretty solid at this point. And considering that, you know, arguably a lot of the slowdown has been a result or an effect of some of this uncertainty around trade, could that change this dynamic a little bit, you know, 6 to 12 months out?
It will, and that's exactly what we saw yesterday and today, taking, you know, 5-10 basis points out of that potential cut. So without a doubt, if phase one, you know, looks like we've got phase one, phase two could increase the pressure. Well, what it's going to do is it's basically going to call some of the economists off of this global slow growth path that the U.S.-China trade war has had us on. And if we can just get away from that, then we're probably going to maybe see the Fed funds curve get more in line with the Fed's expectation.
Mm-hmm,
You know, there's something else at play, too, and that is, you know, a lot of the reasoning for the Fed lowering rates for three consecutive meetings prior to this last one was really trying to get the dollar more competitive to global currencies. And it is a bit of a race to the bottom.
Yeah, valid point.
For global currencies. And with the Fed holding rates high, and I mean high relative to global markets,
yeah.
We were becoming pretty uncompetitive. And I think we're seeing that in a lot of export data for a lot of products. So
right.
I think the Fed could, you know, as long as the U.S.-China trade deal is pretty much on track and going as expected, we're probably most likely to stand still. If something were to upset that, we could see lower rates, another 25, maybe 50. But Yeah, the Fed, it took the Fed a long time to normalize rates after the credit crisis. And
yeah,
I don't think they want to give up a lot of those gains they've made, because if there were to be a real economic problem in the future, and looking at the S&Ps right now, it's you could say they're
you need some flexibility.
You better have some flexibility, because that is a market that has been on fire since 2009. And so I think the Fed is very likely to draw the line here on low rates, just to keep some bullets in their back pocket.
Yep. Makes a lot of sense.
So that's
definitely agree.
I think that's the forecast. I think the bar for them to raise rates is very, very high. I don't see that happening. I think if there were to be a change in the forecast, I think it more likely to be lower rates from here than higher. But again, you know, there's pretty much a natural floor, 25 to 50 basis points from where we're at, unless we had a real, real economic problem.
Gotcha. Well, on that note, I think everyone's a little smarter about the interest rate situation after this.
And shopping.
Yes. And they're very aware. They've learned that Amazon puts out a catalog. They've been reminded of service merchandise and are now aware that we don't have any Gen Z in our group of folks, at least not on this podcast.
Yeah,
about that.
And go get those. And if you're going to order something, you better do it now.
And if you're going to order something, don't. I know you have a Prime membership, and you're used to those 1 or 2 day deliveries.
Not right now.
But not right now. Not to mention, you don't want your kids' number one item on the list to sell out before you get an opportunity to get it, because no kid is okay with, well, how about a nice New Year's Day gift?
Yeah, no, crying at Christmas is not good. Yeah, Santa has to deliver.
Right.
Santa has to deliver.
And he has to deliver. And on that note, just a reminder to our clients that although a lot of folks will be out of the office, including possibly yourself, you can still get the latest info of relevance on commodity and ingredient markets by logging into McKinney Flavel's IQ portal. And I'm sure either right before you leave the office for the holidays, or right after you return, or if you're looking for an excuse to get away from your in-laws for a minute during the holidays, you'd love to come check out the latest stuff available on IQ. And as always, we're here to help, even with the in-laws. And that wraps up our weekly Hot Commodity Podcast. I want to thank everyone for listening in. And as Mike always says, and would be very upset with me if I did not, be sure to live with an attitude of gratitude. Happy holidays, everyone. And until next time, take care.
That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Flavel's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Flavel.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.